Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. With Mike Boddicker in the studio. Hello, Mike. How are you?
Good morning, Steve.
You know, last night was a
thanks, Bob.
Jay.
Was a big loss for the Royals, and they were upset after the game because they knew going into the game that if they would have won last night, they would have been back to 500, and that would have signaled the return of Jake Pounders to the bandwagon. That was a lot of pressure that was put on the Royals before the game with that knowledge.
I heard him tell Gary that wait when they get 500, when they get 500.
Yeah.
Now they're back 2 games away.
What was that?
I agree.
Now they're back 2 games away.
I'm honored.
I agree.
It's the first time.
Until you hit 500, I mean, you really seriously can't be.
Right.
Yeah.
So
do you think they will hit 500?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think
so,
they will.
But you think they will be contenders, or they are a contending team?
They're hotter than a firecracker right now, but you also have to understand that baseball is a long season, and you're going to go through at least 2 more of those slides where you're going to lose 8 out of 10. So it depends on everybody else, and Cleveland's been pretty hot too. So, and they're a team that I feel is a better team than the Royals are as far as talent. I don't know. It's... The funny thing is nobody's wanted to win this division so far. It's just been kind of up in the air, and that's kind of given us hope. But do you believe in our bullpen? I just don't.
We
could have lost one the other night. I mean, that ball.
Herrera did not look good, even though he got the save. He got hit hard.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that ball could have, 10 more feet, and it's oof. And there's nothing to be ashamed of losing to Chris Sale because he's a stud. The amazing thing is the swings he gets at balls out of the zone, it looks like he's throwing like 99, 100 miles an hour, and he's throwing 91, 92. Every once in a while he'll pump up to 96, but most of the time, they're swinging. As soon as it leaves his hand, they're swinging. It's not the Royals. Everybody's doing it.
You know what this bullpen could use?
Greg Holland?
Kyle Zimmer.
Oh, we're back to Zimmer.
Yeah.
I've got
everyone else on board but you. I got a big,
he's got
comfortable seat on this bandwagon.
I've got to see more of him down there to say, okay.
Oh, you're playing with fire.
No, I know that. Why get him up here and have him blow out? I mean,
it's better than blowing out down there, right?
Let's get some innings up here.
Let's stay consistent. He's blown out down there his whole
career. Let's get some usage.
For his career.
Would you rather see him in a game for the Royals or Chris Young?
I'll flip-flop the Chris Youngs.
That's what I tried to
suggest, let's trade. Let's flip-flop the Chris Youngs. We'll take that.
Sitting on their hands over there, make a deal, man. They could be Chris Young for Chris Young, and you still leave with Chris Young.
That would be cool.
That'd be fantastic.
He could probably pitch better, too.
Well, As Louis Armstrong says, it takes 2 to tango.
Well, find out.
It does.
You got to make the phone call. Walk across the diamond.
He'd laugh at you.
How would you like to have Chris Young?
Of course, you know what? He fits right in with the bullpens that he has amassed over the years.
Oh, Dombrowski.
Yeah. Think about it. Think how good Detroit would have been if they had any kind of bullpen at all.
You go over there. Did you see this guy in the 2015 postseason?
He's still going to laugh at you.
I don't know. I've been laughed at. I don't mind it.
And you will again.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No Kyle Zimmer?
No.
Okay.
No.
I know Petro asked J.J. Piccolo about him yesterday. He said that they're not ready to pitch him in back-to-back days yet.
I don't think that'll ever happen, will it?
Maybe not.
I would not do that this year at all. I mean, would you? Maybe ever.
Yeah, maybe not.
I don't think I'd ever pitch him in back-to-back days.
It's a ticking time bomb.
Hey, to the TikTok, you don't stop, stop.
Yeah.
To the
TikTok,
you don't stop, stop.
No, he's over there. What are you doing? Playing with your phone? Come on, Jake.
Are you, what are you, hey, Jake, what, are you on your phone?
Hey, Jake said he,
color me bad.
I heard on the way over
man.
Here, Jake believes anything I say. Yeah, I've got something for you.
What do you got?
I got something for you. I got something, and you'll like this because it relates to Mizzou.
Oh boy. Oh, boy. What are you going
to
say?
Do you believe that I am related to Michael Porter Jr.?
Yes.
I want you to be.
I am.
And then I'd like to get tickets through you.
I am related to him.
How?
He's my second cousin once removed. You want me to explain it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have a pen or something?
His great-grandma was my aunt.
His great... See, that's too much. Wait, I'm too early for this. His great... His great-grandma...
Was my aunt. Aunt Marie.
Aunt Marie.
Yeah. His mom is my second cousin, Lisa.
Carry the four.
And... His aunt is the head women's basketball coach.
So is this your mom or dad? Your mom or dad's sister?
My dad's sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no, okay
I'm following.
So, okay.
I'm tracking.
Wait, your dad.
I'm tracking,
bud. Okay, your dad.
Yep.
Tell me your dad's name.
Harold.
Harold's sister,
Marie,
is in. Who's Marie?
Marie was my aunt.
So Marie's your aunt,
yeah.
but
and that's his son. That's her son.
Marie
Arlo.
Okay.
He got killed in a tractor rolled over on him. So I went to the wake, and Robin, and they were all there.
And Arlo's Robin's father?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do it. Do them. Right.
And just, so your Aunt Marie is Michael Porter Jr.'s great-grandmother?
Yeah.
Boom. I got
so
it figured
did
out.
Did you know that?
No. I didn't put it together, no, until I was up there. I'm going, whoa, wait a second.
Well, and you were a Division I basketball player. So it clearly
was,
runs
no,
in
I
the genes.
No, I was not. I was offered.
Well, you were offered to
but
be a Division
I
basketball
no,
player.
No, I was very short. I couldn't jump very well, so.
But I bet you're a hell of a shooter.
I shooter, passer, ball handler, yes.
So then Arlo was what to you?
This Arlo
right.
was my first cousin.
Your first cousin?
Yes, his dad, Arlo Sr., was right. my uncle.
And were you around them much in your... childhood or in your youth or anything or
a little bit
okay
a little bit he was a race car driver
they got Michael Porter Jr.
So wouldn't that make Michael Porter
Michael
Jr. your
Porter.
First cousin once
I'm
removed
getting tickets.
Is it first cousin once removed or second cousin once removed
I don't know
me either second. I don't
why
understand.
Can't you say first cousin second what's the difference between see what's the difference between
that's,
first cousin
that's
or first
confusing
cousin once
part.
Removed
so once removed means generation like is one generation different so if my dad has a first cousin
I knew I'd throw this thing
into it. That would be my first cousin
total
once
chaos.
Removed.
But so if is your first cousin once removed the same as being someone's second cousin?
I don't think so. I think that so like if my dad has a first cousin, that person is my first cousin once removed. If that person has a kid, I'm second cousins with that kid because we're on the same generation. I think that's right.
I think you're right.
Jake shaking his head. Yes.
Yeah. I know the second
I knew
cousin part
I knew
is
I
right.
would throw this into a total.
Way to go, Bods.
Yeah.
But I believe you.
I don't.
See,
I don't,
you did believe
I
me.
I did. I absolutely did.
So, did you talk to Michael Porter Jr.?
No, did not.
We need you to get an exclusive.
No, yeah. I did not.
Can you get no, you didn't mean introduce yourself. I mean, I'm or to that.
Michael
that,
was not. He didn't come in with Robin and Michael. I could talk to Michael Sr.
Okay,
but he was.
So did they? But did, so you didn't put it together. But from their side of the family, did they know? Like, hey, we're cousins with
oh,
Mike
yeah.
Boddicker.
Yeah. They know that. I've met Michael
well,
Sr.
Why the hell didn't you know that?
I've met Michael Sr. before, but it's been a while, and I didn't put it together. I really didn't.
So everyone knew but you?
Everybody knew but me.
They just kept
yeah.
you in the dark on this
yeah,
whole thing?
Yeah. And I promised Robin I'd give the women's Mizzou's basketball a shout-out.
You should.
Yeah.
We had Sophie Cunningham on the show last year, the star of the team.
Stud.
Mm-hmm. So did you – have you – known Robin before this?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did the play-by-play
Robin,
of a
Robin
WNIT
was, Robin was
game.
Unbelievable
you
basketball player. She's 6'4".
Tell me this stuff, like, when it's go like,
I had,
it is.
I
telling you now.
I had, it just didn't click. I mean, I.
Robin Pinchton was the head coach at Illinois State.
Mm-hmm.
A few years ago, I did a WNIT game there, and then she got hired at Missouri, like, right after that. She's done a really good job at Missouri.
Yeah,
so,
she has.
Long story short, let's go to a game. I'll drive. Let's go to a game.
The women's and men's?
Both, whatever. Let's go see your cousins.
You can get us some good tickets, right?
I don't even care. I'll get the tickets.
Okay.
I just want to go with you so you can watch your cousins, since you just realized this is your family, and let's go. I'd like to be there with you to enjoy that, because I'll probably go to a bunch of games anyway. Would you like to go?
I've never been to a Missouri game.
That's what I'll drive you. I'll never take you to go eat. Game.
Yeah, let's we'll do some, this.
You know.
I'll go with you. I really will.
I'll act right?
No, that ain't possible.
I'll go to make sure he acts right.
That is not possible. You're going to go to drive back, right?
Do you see how he
I'll be driving back.
Yeah, how readily he volunteers to go to a Missouri game these days.
To a Missouri
he
game.
Was ready to go to a Mizzou football game last year because he bonded with Barry Odom.
I've been to Mizzou hoops game before.
I know, but my point is,
there's
no resistence for you. You're not. I didn't even have to
I've
ask.
I've only been
you.
To one KU game.
You're just jumping. I love it.
They're not rivals with the school I report anymore.
Hey, look at me. Open arms.
Yeah.
Open, just like Journey. Open arms.
Growth, right?
He's jumping in. Nate, you see this?
I saw it. All the aerial teams.
You're the best.
I like them all.
You saw it last year. Yep. He starts talking to Barry Odom every week, and Barry's nice to him. He's nice to Barry. And then he doesn't mind Mizzou football, and he likes Drew Lock, and we got it, okay? And so he's in, and you did not like it. You kind of were like, what's this about? And so now
Nate's lips get real thin when you start talking about that.
So me and Mike are talking about, hey, let's go to a game. Obviously, that's his cousins. That'd be a great experience. And just out of nowhere,
Nate,
hey, I'll go and I'll make sure. And he just wants to thrust himself into this Missouri situation.
No. Pass.
You want to go?
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Wow.
He's the one that thought of the idea
of
him
in.
Going.
Yeah.
What do you think about
it? He offered to be your chaperone, basically.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll drive.
I don't know what to think about it. I'm trying not to.
I want to know what you think of it.
I mean, you keep telling me.
Think of it.
I mean, look, I'm going to say something that's going to make Jake like want to fight me. So I don't want to say that.
There we go.
Mike, that's every day.
You like this, don't you?
I do. Why do you think I brought this stuff up?
Well, I spend a lot of time defending Jake because people always say, well, Jake, you didn't even go to Kansas. Why is he such a Kansas fan? I'm like, no, his parents went to school there.
My grandparents went to school there.
He's a big KU fan, but it kind of makes me feel like I should stop defending him on that. And just, you know, well, I don't
need
know.
You to defend me.
He likes to go to Missouri games. You know, I don't know what he is.
If that offends people that went to KU, like, well, he didn't even go to KU. Well, you know what? Screw you. I can root for whoever I want. Period.
Now that.
I told you that would get his back up if I said that.
I'm saying thing.
Hey. Yeah.
I grew up a Missouri fan, but I didn't go to Missouri. But guess what? I can be a fan of whoever I want to be.
Right. So, like you. Like, until I was 18, from the time I can remember, my parents put KU gear on me. They took me to KU football games, KU basketball games. So when I'm 18 and I get a full ride scholarship to go play soccer at Western Illinois,
right,
I'm automatically not a KU fan then, right? That's how it works?
Is it?
No.
I think that's not how it works. Sure.
Is that how it works?
No. And guess what? You know what? Those people that have a problem with it, that's okay. They're allowed to have a problem with it.
What do you say to those people that have a problem with it?
Screw you.
There we go. Now we're talking.
You can't see this if you're listening on the radio, but I have my middle finger
up. Microphone a finger.
Right.
So I don't feel like that's necessary. Mm.
Too bad.
Send down the microphone. Out the speaker. Hey, you know what? Right
next
into your
next time somebody complains to you, Nate, about me, send them my way. I'll deal with them.
Whoa. How did this get to this point?
Wow.
I just mentioned.
you want me to tell you how it got to this point?
You know,
they got Michael Porter Jr.
That's how it got to this point.
Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. And so you will really appreciate this. So I'm talking about your family. That's your cousin.
La familia.
Okay?
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr. brings people together. He's a bridge over troubled waters.
Ooh, Simon and Garfunkel.
Is what he is. Okay? Michael Porter Jr. is bringing Jake Pounders to Columbia. He's bringing Mike Boddicker to Columbia. He's bringing me to Columbia. I'd have gone anyway, but he's bringing me, and we're all going to be in the same car.
You ever been to a women's basketball game?
Sure.
Have you?
You know, I've been to everything there.
Oh, okay.
I developed into more of a women's basketball fan after I called women's basketball for four or five seasons at UMKC, and then when you have daughters, you know,
mm-hmm.
you enjoy it even more because you look at your daughters and you want them to play, well, I want them to play sports, and one of them will play any sport. The other one refuses to play any sport whatsoever and tells me she hates it. Say, hey, I'm not forcing anyone to do anything. Nope. The point is, we're going to Columbia. I'm going to give you the schedule. I'll get the tickets. All I want you to do, is go and be ready. We're in black and gold. You've got some Iowa black and gold. Something. You can't say Iowa, but, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Jake, are you in on this thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
If Bodker's in, I'm in.
Nate's in.
No.
You're Michael Porter Jr.'s cousin.
Yeah, I am.
They got Michael Porter Jr.
I'm going to have you on the show every day now.
Oh.
I thought, oh, look how good
I thought I'd, I no, had seriously. That. I had that in the pickup. I thought, you know what? Jake believes everything I say. I want to see if he believes it.
As much as this warms my heart and connects me to you even more, look how
I know
somewhat uncomfortable Nate is.
The man has no lips right
like
now.
Like he's just, you know, he's just sitting over there. It's back to Nate Sowers. Can't you be happy for people?
I'm
Sowers.
Happy for you guys. It's going to be a great happy? 6 months.
I didn't ask for this. This, again, Michael Porter Jr. is bringing people together.
Yeah.
Now, if we could just get Mizzou to play Kansas in basketball, would that
God,
be awesome?
Please. Dude, a fight broke out between our former intern, ooh, Blake, who is a KU kid.
He's a real red ass,
and he's,
by the way.
He's like the fresh out of college, you know, bursting with Jayhawk pride type KU.
Love that guy.
Bursting with something. I don't know if that's
right. And a couple of the other guys on the crew are big Missouri guys. He was on the traveling crew. So we're in San Jose the night before the game, and I mean a fight, like just screaming at each other about this whole KU won't play Missouri thing, and I'm just like, you know, I left.
What's the problem?
I'm out of here. I don't want to listen to this crap.
Who's
Missouri guy is screaming at Blake because KU won't play Missouri.
KU doesn't have to play Missouri.
Blake's screaming back at him about it. We don't want to play you. We don't, you know, see, there's nothing to gain. And I'm just like, I'm so tired of this. When I see the crap on Twitter, I'm just like, I
hate to say this.
Scroll through.
Move on.
Yes, that's what I'm like. Let's all just move on. Everybody's happy where they're at. Why do we have to keep
happy? Why don't we see if they can play in the NCAA tournament?
Iowa State's got no problem coming to Columbia. Kansas plays other big, old Big 12 schools. Well, just play who you want. You know, we're surviving. We made it without that game. Would I like to see it? Sure, but it's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
Not anytime soon.
It won't happen as long as Bill Self's there. Is that fair to say?
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe.
In the tournament. You know, they'll hook up in the tournament.
Jake, wait. You know what?
Could happen.
If Missouri does make the tournament this year, I would not be surprised to see them in KU's bracket.
If KU makes the tournament this year.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
And then we'll hear from everyone. Well, you know, the NCAA selection committee, they don't do
chance.
Things like this.
Random
they
chance.
They don't look at possible matchups. You know, like that year, well, they didn't want Kansas to play Wichita State. That just happened. Yeah, it just happened, fell this way. It'll happen. That'd be great.
And they've played other sports. That, you know, they've met in soccer and softball and some of those sports, you know, in postseason play. So it'll happen probably someday in basketball.
And if it does happen, Mike Boddicker and I will go to watch his family on the court as he roots for Missouri.
And you go because KU will be there. So
you
we'll
got to root for family.
Happen
right?
This year.
What?
You got to root for family.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Blood is thicker than water. You got to root for fam. Yeah. That's right. Now, see?
Yeah, I'm...
This is a great... I was in a bad mood at 6. I'm feeling
I've
good
always,
right
I've always rooted for all the local teams.
Yeah,
I've liked,
but not
I like
fam.
Them all. Case, everybody. I mean, but, you know, I got to pull a little bit more harder for Missouri right now because I got... two cousins involved, so.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk to the cousin of Michael Porter Jr., Mike Boddicker, after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Mike Boddicker in studio. We're playing the music of Tesla, Poison, and Def Leppard in honor of the concert that I will be attending tonight, featuring, oddly enough, Tesla, Poison, and Def Leppard. See how that works? Mike Boddicker has informed us that he is cousins with Michael Porter Jr.,
They got Michael Porter Jr.,
which has opened a whole new world for me. And
you did perk up. You sounded kind of sour.
I was sour.
You were sour.
It was a sour hour.
I was trying to help out here. I was trying to help Nate. I mean, that was tough listening to you the first hour. You were pretty bitter.
I was. I was going step by step because I started off bad.
Yeah.
I sparred last night and I took a couple of shots. You know, hey, whatever. Usually I take other.
It's your anniversary. How could you? Come on.
I already got yelled at.
Yeah,
I yelled at for 15 minutes last night.
Yeah, big deal.
And so I don't even feel sorry for you. What the hell's wrong with you? Like, I mean, do you really want to answer that? We'll stay up till midnight.
I think she knows the answer for that already.
Exactly. Rhetorical question.
Yes.
And so then then Jake started playing the Def Leppard and the Poison and Tesla. So I'm getting ready for, you know, anniversary night. And then you drop that bomb on me about Michael Porter Jr. being your cousin. And I see how Jake's excited to go to Mizzou basketball games now. And I see how he can't even like fake smile. He is so irritated by this whole thing. What part are you irritated most by?
Hey, Nate, let's get back to baseball.
Because you are like, what of all this, what has irritated you the most? Give me the one thing that's really rubbed you wrong. Is it the Jake thing? And his willingness to jump in with both feet to this?
Okay,
Jake can do whatever he wants, man.
Stop.
You're
damn right. Stop. Who's coming in after me?
Yeah,
well, he's not coming.
Well, you're
going to
talk to him, right?
Yeah. That'll cheer me up.
That'll cheer you up. We're good.
He's written a new autobiography too, which I've pre-ordered about 1,000 copies.
Right.
Kiss marks.
I'm fine. There's nothing for me to say about this whole Michael Porter Jr. thing.
I'm really hurt that you wouldn't go to a basketball game with me.
Yeah,
I'll go to a basketball game with you. I'm not going to that basketball game with you. I'll go to all kinds of basketball.
I'll get back to baseball because that's the only thing I know about.
Yeah, talk sports.
Look, it's difficult for me to process the idea that Brian McCray is coaching at Missouri as well. I mean, those are not things that make me like happy.
Oh, everyone's making the move, man.
If it makes you happy, I'm never going to coach at Mizzou.
Everyone's making the move.
That makes
it
you happy.
It does make me happy.
I'll never coach. I did coach at KU for a little while.
See? So.
Because
I've got some ties there. I got a little bit, just very tiny, short. Ties.
If you go to coach at Mizzou, like in your part of the show, it goes on to bigger and better things. You have a good experience. You go coach at KU, talk to Grenhart. See what happens.
Yeah, but that's football.
I'm just letting you know.
I'd love to coach basketball.
Ask him. You ask Timmy. I'm not going to speak for him. I don't know. I don't know what happens. Let's get back to that later. Mike, Matt Strom, you told me to shut my mouth. Now, go ahead. Come on, I told you so. He's struggling. He's young. He's fresh.
Hey, he held his own for 3 innings. Then it just imploded. But
then what happened?
Oof. Double base hit, double base hit. I mean, it was just nonstop. It's like he ran out of gas, which didn't surprise me. It was funny
because he hasn't been pitching much as a starter or because he's trying to throw like he did in the bullpen as a starter.
Nah, it's it.
Or both.
He had to run out there with whatever he had, the best he had, and go as long as he could, and it turned out to be 3 innings.
But. What words of wisdom would you give him to help him in this transition?
Learn to locate your fastball. If you want to be a starter, you got to learn to locate your fastball.
Can you learn to have better command?
Yes, you can.
Nope.
Yeah, you can.
Ned Yost doesn't seem to agree with that from
last
night.
Yeah, well, he's wrong. You can learn to command.
I've been waiting for this one.
It's all about mechanics.
You know how you were waiting to tweak him? We've been waiting to... Huh.
No, it's... You can command.
Jake, play the clip now about Ned Yost. From Ned Yost, he was...
I tell Ned to his face, I think he's wrong.
Oh, boy. Play Yost 4.
You can learn to command your fastball.
So let me ask you this before we hear from Ned Yost. Can a bad appearance or any type of struggles for a young pitcher, can it be a learning experience?
Yes, it can. Okay. In the right situation, it can. And I'll give you an example after you're done with this.
Let's hear from Ned Yost.
Chalk this up to kind of a learning experience for Matt.
A learning experience?
A career start.
No. I chalk it up to not commanding the baseball. What are you going to learn from, you learn to command the baseball? Oh, he was just up in the zone. You know, his stuff was really good. He was just up.
Response, please.
He was up, especially the fourth inning. No, you have to command your fastball in order to pitch. You do. Why do you think he was successful last year? If you watched him, it was he was dotting that outside corner consistently last year. I don't know what happened from then until now where he can't command, but you have to be able to command your fastball. That's the most important thing pitching in the big leagues.
What clicks where you can command your fastball, your ability to repeat your delivery?
Repeat the delivery. It's all about mechanics and release point. And
but for some, that's easier said than done. Right.
You shouldn't be in the big leagues. You should be able to command and at least your fastball. If nothing else, your fastball.
Does he get too emotional on the mound?
Yeah, probably, but there's a lot of guys do that.
But can that affect you
if
you don't harness that?
Yeah, it can. It can, especially if you have a little trouble. If you're running into a little trouble in an inning, yeah, it can.
Try to overthrow?
Mm-hmm. You get aggravated, you get ticked, and you try to overdo instead of back off a little bit and make some pitches. And that's pretty common for younger kids.
But do you see enough from him where you would stick with him in the rotation for a while, at least until Duffy and Carnes are back, to give him an opportunity to...
I don't know. I think I might go with Chris Young.
The outfielder? Yes. I'd like to see you pitch.
I just quickly turned from you to Jake.
You're like bull in a china closet today.
I will hit an old man.
You better pack a lunch, pal, because you're going to kill
me.
That's
the second week in a row he said that.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and tell you this right now, because I learned
from Cal Ripken Sr.
He would whip your ass, Jake. I'm just going to let you know.
Old man Cal Sr., he was little... wiry, and I'm going, no way, because he would fight me.
Right.
It was like that, one of those Monty Python things where you tear their arms and legs off, and he'd still keep coming at you.
The Dark Knight.
Yeah, I never. Mm-mm.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
It's been a couple years ago when Phil said, who's tougher, you or Grandpa? I said, that would be Steve St. John Sr. in a technical knockout first round.
You never fight with the old man.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Would I ever want to?
No.
Because this is one thing that has stuck with me. It makes me feel young. I have a healthy fear of my
dad. That's right.
And when he gets, when I know he's really mad, I'm like, oh boy, where's the door?
Back off. Yeah.
I am out of here. You know what I mean?
I'm going to give you an example of what I was talking about before you played the clip. Of how you learn from having a tough time.
Okay.
I am in Detroit my rookie year. And my stuff was fabulous in the bullpen. It was the best stuff I can remember ever having. I think I made it 2 1/3 innings. And, I mean, everything was great, even on the mound. And I came in, and I got taken out, and I'm sitting there, I got my head down. I'm just trying to figure out what the heck just happened. And Jim Palmer came over and sat by me. He sat there for a little bit, and he looked at me and goes, you had great stuff today, didn't you? I said, yes, I had fabulous stuff today. And he goes, yeah, you did. He says, you threw all the right pitches to all the wrong people. And he got up and walked away. So basically, what he was telling me was, you forgot how to pitch, what you were trying to do to people, and you were trying to use stuff to get people out. And in the big leagues, not always stuff won't get you out. You have to be able to command, throw the right pitches, you know, instead of, maybe you have your best fastball you've ever had, but to a fastball hitter, they're still going to hit it. You know, you got to command it. You got to mix change. You know, if a guy's you get him out with changeups, keep throwing changeups. Don't do something stupid because your stuff was great that day.
Well, you got hammered here.
So I got hammered a lot in Detroit.
July 3rd, 1983, in front of 26,000 people.
I was embarrassed a lot in front of a lot of people. You know that?
The Tigers won 10-1 over Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Boddicker, 2 2/3.
Ah, I was close.
7 hits, 5 runs, a walk. Hey, got a couple of Ks. Gave up a home run. Here's the lineup you faced. Lou Whitaker.
Mm-hmm. Sweet Lou.
Enos Cabell.
Chet Lemon on that team?
Yes.
Chet the Jet.
Kirk Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
Did he try to land a plane at any point in this deal?
Oh, jeez, no.
How about the thank you. That's the name. I've wanted to say this name for so long. At one point, pitch hitting for Kirk Gibson was John Walkenfuss.
Ooh, the fuss. Yeah, I liked him.
Yep. Lance Parrish, Larry Herndon, Glenn Wilson, Chet Lemon, Tom Brookins.
Yeah, little Tommy Brookins.
Do you know what do you know what pitcher you faced that day? I love this.
I have no idea because I wasn't there very long.
How about Juan Berenguer?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I got a great story about Berenguer.
Okay.
Share it.
We're facing them in Baltimore. First pitch of the game, Al Bumbry hits a line drive off his forehead. I mean, rocket. He goes down, and everybody's starting to run out there. And next thing you know, he gets up on his knees and starts shaking his head like a bull, stands up, waves everybody off. He's got this big knot in his head. He pitched six, seven innings.
Wow.
After he got hit with a line drive off his forehead, first batter of the game.
Wow.
He was like, whoa, that's awesome. I mean, that just doesn't happen, man.
Who was the pitcher that came over and sat next to you?
Palmer.
Mm-hmm. Was he in his underwear?
Could have been. He wasn't pitching
just
that
day. Jockey short to sat down.
It's like me, you could be an underwear model.
Like the pose he had, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that
one?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why I remember that. He's always, hey, Mike.
You
had good stuff.
Tells you a little
you?
Something about yourself, doesn't it?
Now, it tells me a lot. Now, let me put a bow on this. Do you remember what you did later on that year when you returned to Tiger Stadium?
I only won one game there my whole life. That was my 100th win.
No, listen, no. Later on that year, at Tiger Stadium, September 21st, you threw a shutout.
That was my only win there. It was my 100th win.
Well, this was your rookie year.
Rookie year, I won there too? Seriously?
You threw a shutout.
I don't remember that. I don't even remember the bad games.
Listen to this line. 9 innings pitched, 5 hits, no runs, 5 walks, 12 strikeouts.
And 150 pitches.
And you, Lord only knows how many pitchers were thrown in this damn game.
You faced
Jack Morris, who threw 8 innings, what 6 hits, 6 runs, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts. He gave up 3 homers. You had a wild pitch.
I tell you what, Jack Morris was a stud. He was a flat-out stud. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry for everybody voting. He needs to be in the Hall of Fame. He was a stud. There's certain people that deserve to be in there. I wasn't one of them.
Was he on a pitch count?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to tweet
like
you.
I was.
Did you see how mad Chris Sale was, by the way, when he got taken out of the game yesterday?
Oh, you betcha.
Would you have been mad?
You betcha I would. I want to finish. When I get to that point, you need to finish.
If the manager comes out and tries to take you out and it's you're in your prime, what would you have resisted? What would you have said on the mound?
I always handed the ball to the manager.
But would you have said something like, come on,
I'd have talked to him later on in the
I'm pretty sure there was a heated conversation after that game because Sale handed him the ball, but he wasn't just a little bit mad. Mm-hmm. He was mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they took him out.
I would be very mad too, but I hand him the ball and I go off. And I'll talk to him in his office later on. But no, you don't embarrass the manager right there. You never do that. Uh-uh.
I mean,
hand him the ball. That's his job to come out and get you, and you hand him the ball.
Travis Wood was coming up. Travis Wood.
Yeah, I know.
He can handle a bet.
He can swing a little bit, but not against Chris. No.
It's like he's got 2 outs to go. He's going to face Travis Wood and I think Drew Butera, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know what? He was at 110 pitches. I mean.
Complete. He doesn't care.
He doesn't care, but that's why Farrell took him out of the game.
I understand why he took him out. But
my point is like 110. What's going to take him? 10 more pitches to get through those 2 guys? Probably. I don't know.
He's cruising. It was effortless last night, pretty much.
Now you got to protect him against that in that matchup against Wood. Travis Wood, you know.
And I get it. He's managing. That game's in the bag. They can bring in whoever they want and win the game.
But so long-term, as a starter, you want a complete game. You want to finish it right there. And I understand both sides. I do. I really do. And
I mean, don't give up the bomb to J-Bone, and don't give up the hit to Kane, and you're all right. But I just think it like...
And you've got a comfortable lead. I can see if it's like maybe, one run lead. Like, oh, we got to be careful here.
Yeah. But the pitcher's coming up, I mean...
Yeah.
Mike, that year we've been referencing, 1983, you finished third in the Rookie of the Year voting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if Nate and or Jake can guess the two players that finished ahead of you in 1983. You know what? I'm going to put this to the listeners.
I actually know these.
Don't say it. I'm going to give away tickets.
Surprising, because I can't remember yesterday. So
I can't remember last night. You will receive a family four-pack to Maker Faire at Union Station this weekend. Go down there and enjoy a great time at Union Station. I'll be there from 10 until noon with some live hits. And I have some of my, two of my kids with me at least down there. I think Phil and Julia will be with me because they love it so much. All kinds of great stuff. And several R2-D2s will be in attendance.
Yeah, astromech droids.
See, that's what I'm talking about. 913-3810-810. If you can tell us who finished ahead of Mike Boddicker in the AL Rookie of the Year voting in 1983. Man. Do you have a guess? And you know what? If you guess it, we'll still give caller number 8 or whatever. Just give me one guess of a player. I would get this right away because I would not have gotten who finished second, but I know because when I was a kid, I memorized all the award winners, but I know specifically because a family member lived in this city. This guy won, mm-hmm. and this city had gone crazy for this guy, mm-hmm. and so my
can I give him a hint?
My relative for my birthday gave me 5 of this person's rookie cards.
Nice,
and said, "Boy, these are gonna be this. He's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You put these because how much I love. That's what I get for my birthday and for Christmas." For like a 5 or 6 year span is baseball cards.
Did you look
here's
up,
5 rookie cards of this
really?
Guy. Yeah, they're going to be worth hundreds. And guess what?
That was 100 years ago. That's why you don't remember.
They're not worth hundreds.
I was 3 years old.
Okay, here's the hint. You ready?
It's in Chicago, obviously.
It was in Chicago. Yeah. My Uncle Phil gave me these rookie cards. And let me tell you something. I got these. This guy is the next great slugger. Look at these rookie cards I got. And then like a couple years later, I was...
Well, it makes me want to say Ryan Sandberg, but I don't think his rookie year was in 83.
Well, it rhymes with Skittles.
American League.
Yeah.
Should be.
I was trying. Whose guy took his pants off?
What? What would you say?
You said rhymes with Skittles.
Yeah.
Kittles. Ron Kittles.
It was not Kerry Kittles, but it was Ron Kittle
Ron
from the
Kittle.
Chicago White Sox.
Wow. Yeah,
there's no
he
way
wanted.
I get that unless you give me that.
Well, that.
Yeah, boy, I never
would have guessed
that.
Okay, so I'm gonna show you right now who was second. Ready?
Oh, yeah. You get there.
Julio Franco.
Ah! Yeah! Bravo, bravo, bravo.
You got it right off the bat.
I used to love doing
you know the
that.
Amazing thing about Franco?
He used
a monstrous bat. It weighed like 36
yeah.
ounces.
Oh, dude.
And he had that thing cocked like
so
this.
Awesome.
And I keep
he
thinking,
pointed
okay.
It straight at the pitcher.
Yeah.
You can, there's no way he can hit an inside fastball with that big bat and the way he's standing there. You could not sneak a fastball inside on him. He would crush
it. Oh, I think my
he
brothers and I, that was the
yeah,
most emulated
oh, yes.
emulated batting stance
yep.
ever.
Oh, like, yeah.
You're just playing home run derby in the backyard, wiffle ball.
Every time you played, like every time I played out 3-2 out by Bannister Mall,
yeah.
there was always at least one kid on the opposing team
did a Franco.
That was Julio. That yeah. thought he was Julio Franco. Then there would be timeout called. The manager would come out and say something to him, and he'd go back
go
to
back
his
to the
Do you guys remember the Mickey Tittleton?
I play with Mickey. I play with Mickey. He's one of my catchers.
Oh, that's great.
Julio Franco played 25
yes.
years.
Yeah.
In
Look how old he was when he was done.
50.
25 years.
Yeah, and when
Look
he,
how
when
old
he broke
was.
In, I swear he was 30.
What kind of
30,
pension
so.
Is he getting?
He was 48 when he was playing.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What a guy.
What a great batting stance.
Could you have played when you were 48?
I could barely walk when I was 48. No. My arm could have.
How did you do against Julio Franco
couldn't.
In your time?
Probably not too well. Because mm-hmm. I kept thinking I could sneak a fastball in there with that stance.
So you come up with the Indians?
He was with Indians. He was with Texas.
Philly.
Yeah, he came up with the Indians. Well, I mean, he was fourth with Philly, but he won the Rookie of the Year with the Indians.
The Indians, yeah.
We're finished second?
Second. Kittle weren't.
Right.
Franco was second. I was third. God,
not
that was forever
trivia.
Ago.
Yeah, we'll still give you tickets if you're calling number 10 or whatever.
Caller 10.
I like the fact that the winner of the Cy Young Award that year was Lamar Hoyt, who had a tremendous beard.
Lamar Hoyt could pitch. He
and Dan
good.
Quisenberry finished second.
In 83?
You know what? Quiz Quiz was fabulous. He was just, everybody hated facing him too. Any team I was on hated facing Quiz. He was, just couldn't hit him. He was just amazing. And he pitched 2-3 innings, effortless, coming in relief. Just
threw underhand.
Oh, gosh. But the ball would just get right to him and just disappear. It was.
That year, he pitched 139 innings out of the bullpen.
Yeah. You go back and look at his numbers, and it's...
he threw 139.
For everybody here in Kansas City, kids that don't remember Dan Quisenberry, you sure missed a great... And he was a better person than he was a pitcher.
And again...
Unbelievable.
I can't remember who I was playing for. Was I playing for... Because I played for Sons of Columbus. I played for Blackman Funeral Home.
Kids trying to throw like him.
And then I played for the Armco Steelers. I think it was when I played for the Steelers. I had been on my coach, please let me pitch. Please let me pitch. Please let me pitch. And so, like, one, it was a blowout one game. I said, okay, here you go. You better throw strikes. I said, all right. I go out there. What do you think I do? Of course. Just like opposing, you know, just like kids who get up there and want to do Julio Franco or do whoever. I get out there and throw a submarine. I last. Yeah. All right. Right back out of the game. Come on. All right. Out of here. But you know what? I did it. Who didn't want to throw submarine
every
style?
Kid that was our age. Would when they were playing catch before, you know, practice or whatever, would throw some submarine.
Yeah.
You know, just be trying to be like Quiz. Because, I mean, his knuckles would almost hit the ground.
Drag the ground, yeah. You
know? By the way, that
as a hitter, that's a you're used to seeing a release point from a pitcher, and all of a sudden, it's at the ground. That completely screws you up. Then his ball sunk so
hard. It's kind of crazy to me that you see sidearm guys now, like Moylan and guys that. But you don't see anybody submarine anymore.
No, Tecalvi and Quisenberry were the two.
I mentioned that you outdueled Jack Morris in September. Jack Morris finished third in the Cy Young voting.
He was great.
But he only threw 293 innings
that
year.
So. he couldn't get to that 300 innings. Yeah. That's why I said, you look up Jack Morris's career, and you're going, why isn't he in the Hall of Fame? Holy crap.
I'm with you. Let's take a break. Do you think Gary Lezak should be in the Weather Hall of Fame?
Oh, definitely.
Is there one?
Definitely. There should be.
Got to be.
Like the Meteorologist Hall of Fame? If he's not in it, then
standby.
It shouldn't exist. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Now, before we get to Gary Lezak, because I don't know if Gary needs to be a part of this. Mike Boddicker, any dealings with Keith Hernandez in your career?
No.
Okay.
Never.
Any opinion of Keith Hernandez?
He has nice dark hair.
A tremendous standalone mustache that he still wears, which is a thumbs up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Him
and Walt Frazier, nice dark hair.
Broadcaster for the Mets. And in the commercial break the other night, he was commenting on the Washington Nationals game where Tanner Roark was having a tough time on the mound. And so we heard him make a reference to Roark. And we were unsure how it relates to pitching, so we'd like to ask if this has ever happened to you, what Keith Hernandez was caught saying on the air.
7-7 in the ninth. Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Yeah, he really has.
Never happened to you?
No, but I've heard it many, many times.
So that never happened to you.
It sounds like Detroit did it to you once.
Did it happen that day in Detroit or no?
No. We're not on fire. Of course, the old uniforms you used to wear were really tight.
Right.
So that's, could friction.
Heavy chafing.
Friction could have possibly.
Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Really has. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sign off on that? Or
that's an old saying.
Do you know what the origin, what is the origin?
I don't know, but it was common that, you know.
If you got
beat up pretty quick, and if you get, you know, if you've been having a long struggle, maybe 4 or 5 games.
Give us another old baseball saying.
It'll end up on something or other.
Yeah, that's right.
It'll end up on the board of the lead.
I'm
fishing Jake. For... Jake's in there smiling, going, yeah, it will. Nah, I ain't. It's
hello, Gary.
Right there with Twitter.
We've got Mike Boddicker here, Gary.
Mike Boddicker is such a personality. I mean, I don't even think he knows it. He's so important. I mean, you're just so good,
Gary.
Listening to you.
Did you hear this from Keith Hernandez? Have you?
Roark got knocked out in the third inning.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
Really has.
You have any comment on that, Gary?
No, I do not.
I really just like the fact that his broadcast partner's like, yep.
Right.
Yep,
yeah. You better believe it. Yep, he really has.
That's old school stuff right there.
Always have to just go with the flow.
Right.
Yeah.
So we were, Mike had made the point that he thinks Jack Morris should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and then I wondered out loud, is there a...
Weather Hall of Fame.
Is there a Weather Hall of Fame, Meteorologist Hall of Fame?
I've looked it up.
Because I'd like to nominate you.
There's no Weather Hall of Fame. Isn't that ridiculous?
That's not true.
There is?
Whoa. What?
I found one here in what town in the United States do you think it would be in? Where's there Oklahoma. One huge?
It would be in Norman, Oklahoma.
No, there's one huge event every year in which an animal predicts the weather.
Pakistani.
Oh, Pakistani.
It says here there's a.
And there's a Weather Hall of Fame there in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Weather Discovery Center in Punxsutawney, and they've got Hall of Fame members. The 2017 inductee was Janice Dean, the weather machine,
JD.
Out of Fox News in, I don't know what town.
Janice Dean, the weather machine.
We now have a new goal for this show.
Yeah. Gary, yes. We'd like to put you in the Weather Hall of Fame.
Yes. Get you in there.
I think I would be disqualified because you have to acknowledge that the groundhog actually can make weather forecasts, and I'm not going to do that.
No, what
you're not
going
to bite on that one?
What you have to do is they said you have to take a picture holding the Farmer's Almanac and admit you get some of the information out of there. You have to admit that you actually
use
that for your forecast.
That's my Bible.
Bears buy it. Gary? Gary?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that either. So. It's double whammy. I'm not going to be in the Weather Hall of Fame in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
Right now, Bob Hamilton's going, wait a second, I'm paying all this money for a guy who gets his forecast from the almanac?
Now, I was kind enough to text you a picture of when I saw a beautiful Farmer's Almanac display at Hy-Vee, and I wanted to know if you wanted me to pick you up one. I didn't know if you had the latest.
If
additions.
You have one, I'd like to have Gary sign it.
I do not have the latest one, but...
Okay.
I'm sure I'll look through it.
I'm picturing Gary just taking his cell phone and throwing it in the trash when he sees that picture.
Not happy when I said that to him.
Well, you know, Farmer's Almanac did predict, a cold day today, and it's wrong, but it's okay. You can keep reading it.
It depends on where you're at.
Mike is coming here and pissed off everyone at least once.
But it's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great.
We've had a good time. Hour flies by in here. It just flies by.
I want to meet Janice Dean, the weather machine.
Right, that
I mean, she's a Hall
fantastic.
Of Famer.
Yeah, I don't know about
Well, you know what's amazing is my peers are in town. They're on the plaza. I'm staying on the plaza. The conference, the broadcast conference for the American Meteorological Society is going on this week.
Oh, really?
Right here in Kansas City. It's the one I go to every year. It's here. And so I'm speaking on Friday on my cycling pattern hypothesis, and I'm going to share with all of my peers the new way of forecasting the weather from one day to 200 days into the future. I've introduced it to them before, but we've had some tremendous findings. So I'll tell you more about that on Friday, but I'm presenting
So basically, you're
going
to screw up a whole bunch of people.
Oh, my. Well... It's going to take another 30 years to get this technology out, so it's pretty exciting stuff. But
you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City.
Is it 8 o'clock already?
Yeah,
and
8:01.
And whenever Gary gives us the weather forecast, it's going to be brought to you by Bob Hamilton Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Reuter.
That's amazing. I don't know how you do that every single day.
Because you go over every day, Gary.
We're professionals.
You go past your allotted time every day.
But we love it. We always listen. Yes.
Well, we'll talk to Bob here in just a second. But weather-wise, today the Royals play at 1:15 p.m. Bob, how's Kennedy going to do today? He had 5 2/3.
I think he'll be good today.
Tonight.
I mean, that's a tough
so?
Lineup, but I think he'll be good.
It is a tough lineup. So hopefully the Royals can win this rubber game today and beat the Red Sox. And the weather looks like about 89, 90 for the first pitch, rising to 92 or 93 for the high temperature. And there is no chance of rain for the game. If the off day tomorrow, amazingly, Friday, this front comes through. It may rain a little bit before sunrise Friday morning and then turning cooler Friday and Saturday. It's interesting. We got to watch Friday and Saturday closely, guys. Do you know why? Big reason, and I will share this with my peers. We're in a 58 to 59-day cycle this year. Of course, I can show you how I've shared it with you for years. But just imagine we're in a 58 to 59-day cycle, and Friday is June 23rd. 59 days from Friday is the total eclipse of the sun that we will be able to see.
Oh, man.
One county north of Kansas City.
It's going to be big.
So what the weather is like Friday into Saturday will be a very good indication of what it will be like August 21st. Think about that. I'm going to share that with my peers. And then they'll write it down. Then I will be right. And then they will forget. This is what happens with long-range forecasts. People forget.
I forget everything you say.
What?
I forget everything you say. I mean, yeah.
I know, because I'm talking about long-range.
Yeah, Gary forgets every time what I say when I say break. He just forgets it.
Real quick.
He's just like the rest of us then.
If we're trying to get Gary into the Meteorology Hall of Fame in Punxsutawney.
No, let's, you know what? Let's start one here in Kansas City.
Well,
what a perfect place.
Start a new Hall of Fame.
Center of the country.
Yeah.
And you could be the first inductee.
But see, clearly, like, you got to have some kind of catchy name or something that gets people's attention, like Janis Dean, the weather machine. And so it's been proposed to me. My buddy Kevin Shank texted in, what about Lee Zach the Almanac?
Ooh.
Farmer's Almanac.
See, that's your nickname. Lee Zach the Almanac.
The Weather 2020 smarter than the Farmer's Almanac. There
that
we
doesn't
go.
Ring.
No.
What do you think, Stephen? Can we get some traction here?
How about Lee Zach the Smart Almanac?
He's still thinking about Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
You were. Your mind was going there.
I'm trying to think.
Hey, we could get you in the Hall of Fame with this, I think.
I think so.
Okay. Well, we'll work on
and
that.
And you can hold the groundhog for a picture.
There you go. I'll do that. Sonny the Weather Dog. Okay. Sonny the Weather Dog should be the first inductee. There you go. All right. Hey, guys. I'll be listening. I'm on the plaza. I'll see you on 41X News. Still working today at 4, 5, and 6. Keep you updated on this weather situation. Hopefully, we're celebrating a Royals victory. Here is the man, Bob Hamilton.
Whoa, Gary, it sounds like it's going to be a hot one. Better call Bob and replace that old AC unit before it completely goes out. For a limited time, you can get a new AC for just $45 a month. Call 888 for B-O-B. Remember 913.
Mike Boddicker, will you accept my invitation to Rob Riggle's All-Star Afternoon tomorrow at the 810 Zone?
Yes, I might be covered in drywall mud, but I probably will be there.
Actually, they requested you be covered in drywall mud.
I got a real good chance.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's doing some drywall. Perfect,
doing some drywall work, so.
As long as you're there, that's all that matters.
Really?
That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what you're covered in.
Anything. This is why I do radio. People really don't want to see me.
No.
No.
I had people showing up in Monroe last week looking for you. Trust me, they want to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to get to the bottom of a lot of things you said on the air.
Oh, yeah.
That's Mike Boddicker. You've done, you know what?
Good morning, wasn't it?
You did a hell of a job here.
That's a good morning.
This is one of the better hours that I've been a part of. Back after this on WHB.